and welcome to the Clock End Talk, an Arsenal podcast. I'm your host, Tez. I'm back. Yeah, I've had 2 weeks off. I haven't even had a podcast since we've had a new manager. So, anyway, looking forward to this one, Arsenal v Manchester United. And I've got Tony with me. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all good, thanks. Much better after yesterday. Obviously, nice New Year's festivities and then off to the Emirates. And one of the good days.
You know what I did bring along with me, though? I'm just going to get it here. A big crystal ball.
I've got a bone to pick with you. I mean, as the captain, owner, manager of what we call Clock End Talk, I think it's a bit unfair that me and Darren have one little disagreement on something. Can you drop him and give him a 2-week suspension? I think that's a bit out of order, to be fair. You've got to allow different opinions here, mate.
Well, you guys should have picked it up on your crystal ball.
Oh, no, it's just not good enough. I mean, we can't predict the immature behaviour that you're showing at the moment.
Darren hasn't been dropped. He's just taking a... He just said he couldn't be on this show, so I don't know what Darren's doing, actually. And Schwinn, as usual...
You know when all the stories come out in the media, like, oh, I haven't dropped Ozil, he's hurt his back. that's what Tez is doing now. Like, oh, yeah, Darren didn't want to come on, he was busy. Really, he's behind the scenes.
He's got a sore back.
Finding 2 weeks' wages, all sorts. Darren's at home playing Fortnite, it's all kicking off.
What about Schwinn?
Who's Schwinn?
Schwinn. Okay, right, let's get into this game. Arsenal v Manchester United. Mate, I was absolutely surprised. Lineup came out and I was like, wow, that's a really, really good lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted the day before what I would do. And obviously there was some information we didn't quite know. So I said, like, we've as far as we know. And I think I didn't have Kolasinac in because I thought he was injured. But I did say I would change Saka if I could. I just didn't think there was anyone we could put in there. I had Leno, Maitland-Niles, Luiz, Socrates, Xhaka, Torreira, Ozil, Pepe, Aubameyang, and I had Martinelli instead of Lacazette, obviously not knowing Martinelli wasn't fit. So my lineup was basically what he'd done with there was two bits of information that I couldn't have possibly known. And had I known them, I would have picked the same lineup he did. So I have no, there's nothing to complain about. It's easy to say that now, we know what happened, but yeah, if we'd have lost, I couldn't have had any complaints.
I don't know if you've seen Craig, he did the match preview, clockandtalk.blogspot.com. He actually put Mafropanos in, and I thought, did I miss some information somewhere during the week, or was there talk of him coming back in?
No. What it was is Socrates, they said he went off against Bournemouth and then didn't play against Chelsea, and they said it was concussion. If you have concussion, there's a week, like, ban, essentially.
Yep.
So I think Craig assumed, and because I was talking to Liam about it, and he assumed that Socrates was out. I'd seen in the training pictures that he was training with the first team, and I thought you wouldn't get him in to do all the shape work and whatnot if he can't play. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a sketchy area because unless it's changed recently, so I could be wrong here, that week ban for concussion is still in place, but it's kind of decided by the club if he has concussion or not.
Yeah,
and obviously the club have doctors who are supposed to be completely impartial and completely professional and only care about the health. But as we all know, in these, like, it's a billion-dollar industry, that it's quite easy to say, look, basically, you're saying he ain't got a concussion or you're sacked, essentially.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying clubs do that, but they definitely do that.
Yeah, no, okay, because I, when I read it, I thought, how did he come to that one? But, yeah, fair call. Mate, look, we come out, I thought, look, these first 10 minutes, here we go, we're on today.
To be fair, I thought we started a little bit shaky. I think we gave the ball away early on and they had a half chance. Or not even a half chance, a break. Obviously, Kolasinac got booked and they had that free kick out wide after 2 minutes. And look, I was going into this game thinking we'd given so much against Chelsea. I was convinced we were going to lose.
Yep.
I just couldn't see a way that they would have the energy level. So when after 2 minutes they'd had a couple of, I don't want to say chances, but a couple of breaks, I thought, oh no, it's going to be a long old day. And then all changed.
Pepe got the first goal in the 8th minute.
Yeah, Kolasinac done really well. I think, it's easy to say because the size of him, but he's a bit like a train. Once he gets going, he's so hard to stop. And he's obviously had a run, laid the ball off, and I'm not going to lie, thought he was offside. Just from naturally looking at it, it's one of them goals I celebrated it, but I sort of half celebrated it, thinking VAR's going to rule this out. And it's probably the first time I've done that, like half celebrated a goal, but it's just because I thought it was offside.
Yeah, I think I said in the WhatsApp group, because one of the boys said, oh shit, this is going to be offside, and I went, jeez, there'll be only half a bee's dick in it, like. But
yeah, I mean, look, I'm sort of where Kolasinac was the one who's in question. I'm diagonally opposite that, so mm-hmm. It's hard to tell. It's not like I'm in a perfect line, but it just, do you know what it was? Do you know when someone gets in behind so easy and they've got no one near them?
Yeah,
you just kind of assume it's because they had a sort of 2 yard head start, and then obviously we've seen and he wasn't offside, and I don't want to say it's a great finish, but Pepe put the ball in the goal, which is all I care about. If it goes top corner or middle of the goal, I don't really give a shit as long as it goes in.
As long as it goes in. I just on that VAR for a minute, because I know everyone gets different television commentaries and whatnot. I didn't even see a replay. Like, I said to the boys, is that what VAR do now? They don't even show you the replay on TV or anything?
I assume it just must have been your broadcaster. Okay. I mean, they don't show replay in the ground, but obviously in England, I think it's one of the first times it's ever happened, every game was on TV yesterday. Okay. So I watched like the early game, and then I watched one of the afternoon games before I set, and then I watched the Man City game at the Emirates or the end of it. And they were showing the VAR replays there, so it would have been the same broadcaster, and they would have shown it in England, as I said. Well, I assume so, obviously. I've not watched it, but maybe it was just your broadcaster either decided not to show it or didn't get the pictures quickly enough.
Could have been. Before we continue on, I have to talk about Lacazette very quickly, because at this point we were talking in our WhatsApp group, and look, if those who want to be involved in the WhatsApp, it's a good little group actually, so just DM me and I can share you the link.
Unless you're a Bellend.
Yeah, absolutely. Lacazette, because we were all a bit critical of him that first 15 to 20 minutes, and then things changed, and you know, he started getting in a bit of rhythm, and at the end of the day, I thought Lacazette had a pretty good game. So I just want to touch on your thoughts about Lacazette that first couple of 15, 20 minutes, and then how did he pan out the rest of the game?
Well, just before we go a bit further forward, I read the WhatsApp group when I got home last night, and to you, say you hammered him, like, fucking get rid of him. Like, you wasn't like, oh, I'm not sure about him. You were trying to sell him. My only issue with Lacazette, and it will always be an issue, whether he's playing well or whether he's playing badly, it's just been highlighted in the last few weeks because he's playing badly. I don't like having a number 9 who you can't trust to score. Like, when he turned Maguire, and he's done excellently, none of our other players managed to turn Maguire the way he did. So you've got that's a positive for him. But not one part of me thought, goal. And, you know, with, like, so many number 9s, if Aubameyang's there, or Kane's there, or Aguero's there, or, like, there's so many, you just go, if they manage to turn Maguire there, you just go, goal. Like, you just assume they'll score, whereas Lacazette, it's the opposite. And that's always been my big problem with him, and always will be my big problem with him. He just doesn't score enough goals. In terms of his all-round play, it's been bad in the last few weeks, and I've called him out on here. I think in the first, as you said, the first 15 to 20, he worked hard, and I'm not going to say that's all you can ask, but when things aren't going for you, that's the minimum you expect, and he done it, so fair play to him. His touch was a bit shaky again early on. Things were bouncing off him a little bit, but as you said, he improved in the game, and his work rate remained until he was just too fucked to run, but fair enough, played a lot of football. And his touch did get better, which then makes holding up the ball a lot easier, because you're rolling it into him. Instead of his first touch going 5 yards away and him having to chase it, it was sticking to him. It did improve a lot. As I said, my issues with him, I don't think will ever change. But I'm not going to say, if he played well, I'll say he played well, and I thought he did. He wasn't one of the better players on the pitch,
yeah.
But that was because so many other players were good. On a normal day, he'd probably be in contention for when we do our 3-2-1s, maybe our my one on a normal day. It just so happens that yesterday, if we was doing the whole 1-2-11, he'd be near the bottom. But that's not really a reflection on him. It's a reflection on everyone else.
Mm-hmm. No, because I said, I was hammering him a little bit on the WhatsApp group, and then he turned it around. So I just wanted to highlight and get your thoughts on Lacazette. Okay, so what do we got here? That was the... When did he score our second goal? Oh, 42nd minute.
Pepe hit the post before that, didn't he?
Yeah, Pepe hit the post, and geez, that was... Oh, not much in it. From that, you know, I noticed, you know, we got a lot of confidence back. We were playing really, really good football, and I said to the boys, this is good football, lads. Like, I'm actually enjoying the game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people sort of... I've had quite a few people tweet today, and obviously I've spoke to people in and around the ground and just friends when I'm driving home ringing me and whatnot. And I think a lot of people found their enjoyment again watching Arsenal for the first time in a while. I mean, obviously, I didn't enjoy the end result against Chelsea, but the way we played in the first half, even at Bournemouth at times, I kind of found that enjoyment coming back. And this obviously topped it off because we got the win and whatnot. But that enjoyment has been slowly and steadily coming back. But I think now you won't find many people that go, oh, I didn't enjoy that. I think everyone sort of had that feeling of, this is what I expect from Arsenal. This is the feeling I used to have when I used to have this feeling every week sort of thing. Mm. And it's just been so long that it feels extra special. But it shouldn't be. This should be the standard. Obviously, you're not going to beat a big team every week because you don't play them every week. But this level of excitement and interest, I want to watch Arsenal again. You asked... After, say, the City game, we lost 3-0. No one was going, fucking, I can't wait for this Everton game on Saturday. Like, come on, this needs to hurry up. Whereas now, after yesterday, we can't wait to watch Arsenal again. And that's how it should be.
And I'll just add, like, and, you know, everyone's not stupid. They can work it out for themselves. Is things must have been so bad with Emery that, and confidence was so far down that it was, you know, you could go into everything. But... I haven't spoke much. I haven't been on the podcast since Arteta's appointment. Bournemouth, Chelsea, Man United. I really, really see a massive improvement in this squad. I will say I was a bit critical of Arteta to start with, and I made it pretty clear. I thought there was better options out there. However, I'm liking what he's bringing to this squad. He's getting them. He's getting the confidence back into them. It's for me, and I don't want to criticise him or anything, but for me, it's going to see how his tactics come against, you know, down the future, whether it be in the Champions League next season or the season after, and you're coming up against the Barcelona team. I know I'm putting the crystal ball on here, but that's where I question his ability to become a manager, because all he knows is what Pep taught him at City.
I mean, yes and no. I see where you're coming from, but to be honest, if he gets us to that level, he's already done an unreal job. So if we get to play Barcelona next season or the season after in a Champions League last 16 or quarter final and get absolutely smacked, I'm not going to come and say, oh, because Arteta's inexperienced. I'm going to fucking hell, we're in a Champions League quarter final or whatever, wherever it may be. I don't see, that's not failure. I mean, Barcelona are a fucking good team. It's not, if you go and get outplayed by Sheffield United consistently in a year and a half time, then you go, then, okay, fair enough, you can question it. I only say Sheffield United because I'm watching them play Liverpool now. not against Sheffield United.
What's the score?
But they're 1-0 to Liverpool. They scored after about 3 minutes. Nearly half time. But yeah, I don't think, as I said, you don't, as a manager, especially, look, our aim is top four. You don't judge yourself against the performances against Liverpool City or any European heavyweight. Your performances are judged on result, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the top four. Look, I always say this. I couldn't care less if we lose every game against the top six and win the other 28, because you would get top four. People put so much weight on them games because it's like one against the other and they're seeming like big rivalries. But the fact is, if you beat the other teams in the league every time, the big games, in brackets, become really unimportant.
Mm.
Like, look at Liverpool last season. They lost one game all season against City, beat everyone else comfortably. City lost 3 or 4 games, but won the league.
Yeah.
So it's not just about how you do against the other big team. If you're going for the title, it probably is. But where our aim is top four, as I said, you'd get... So there'd be 28 games. You get 3 points in all of them. You'd come third. And that would be with losing to every one of the other big teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it's always good to, you know... it feels good when you play the
of what our aims are.
Mm.
So if our aim is top four and you're sitting in third and loses 5-0 to Liverpool, okay, you're going to be pissed off on the day and say it's not good enough and blah, 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 but it doesn't define how good he is as a manager.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I get where you're coming from, totally. I totally understand where you come from.
Because I'm watching Liverpool, my analogies are about them.
Yeah.
But their aim was to win the Champions League. They lost 3-0 away at the Nou Camp, and it wasn't Klopp's finished, get rid of him, blah, blah, blah. It was, okay, we go again. Obviously, he went on to beat him 4-0 and win the trophy.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I know experience will come, but when that is my only criticism of him, it's nothing. Okay, I don't want to make this about Arteta and be all negative because people will go, oh, fucking Tez is already up this cunt. I'm not up him at all. Hey?
Bring back Darren.
Yeah, that's what it'll be, hashtag bring back Darren. But it's just, that's my only concern. It's a little grey area that I think to myself, come down the track, how does he go tactically? Chelsea didn't work. Hey, Manchester United, it did work, so... Happy days. And we got the win, I suppose. So, we'll continue on with this game. Socrates, he got one 42nd minute. You talk us through that?
Yeah, I think what's been horribly underrated about this goal, because it didn't get the assist, is the ball from Pepe is unbelievable. And I see a lot of, well, not some, I see some positives made about Pepe just because he's a new signing. And everyone wants, and a big money sign, and everyone wants him to do well. So he plays a 1-yard pass, and people are like, oh my God, did you see that? This isn't one of them occasions. That ball is a fucking nightmare to defend. It's close to the goal with power, pace. Any touch makes it dangerous. It's so unpredictable. It's quite flat, so the keeper can't come. It's just an unreal delivery. Lacazette gets in front of his man. He makes that front post run very well. He scored a couple of Brighton at home, and it was a flick on, same as yesterday's was, but it looped in. Done really well to get to the front post. De Gea does all he can do, and then Socrates emphatically smashes it in. I mean, for my liking, he like just put it in the goal. He sidewinder volleyed into the roof of the net, and you think, oh, fucking hell, don't give yourself a chance to miss. But yeah, can't complain. That corner actually came from a really good move as well, where Ozil played Maitland-Niles in, and Aubameyang was absolutely flying through the middle, and it looked like all Ainsley had to do was put the ball in the box, but their defender cut it out quite well. I don't know if it's Lindelof or Maguire. And we scored from the corner. So it's another one that goes down as set piece SC, but we've actually won the set piece from a lovely bit of football.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up as well. Okay, going in half-time, we're 2-0 up. Are you sitting there at the ground? You know, obviously, and I'll just talk about quickly, the atmosphere was, like, on TV, was very, very loud. I haven't heard an atmosphere come through my speakers like that in a hell of a long time. I got the feeling that you guys are all very happy.
Yeah, and look, I said at the start of last week, the game again after the podcast against Chelsea, that the atmosphere is always a little bit risen when there's a bad refereeing performance, or you feel a bit like unjust, like there's a bit of, well, just a shit ref, really. Obviously, Klasnac got booked after 2 minutes. From my point of view, in the ground, it was a booking. I've not seen it back. They didn't show it on TV. But then they had 5 or 6 tackles that were worse after that that didn't get booking. So that always raises the atmosphere because you're feeling hard done by, so you want to make noise about the ref. And then, obviously, we're playing very well, and it was everything. There was tough tackles, which you can cheer. There was beautiful football. There was fast attacks. It was sort of everything. I think when it's wave after wave of the same thing, you don't cheer as much because you've seen it 10 seconds before and you're going to see it again in another 10 seconds. But when it's every different type, like a smashing tackle, you get a big cheer. A great through ball, you get a big cheer. A quick break, you get a big cheer. Whereas if it was just tackle, 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 you'd just be like, oh, we're just tackling them and giving the ball back. So I think the game, I said earlier in the season that, and Arteta actually said it in his interview after the game, modern football has changed. Before, the fans used to be the 12th man. Mm. Now they can be, but the team tend to have to give them something to shout about. I don't agree with that, but it's the way modern football is. And that's what happened yesterday. They went 1-0 up, they moved the ball quickly, and they gave us something to cheer about. And as fans, we done our job and cheered.
Not much coming in the second half, obviously, because you know, the game finished at 2-0, so we won't spend too much time on that. However, I was still thinking, shit, we're not out of the woodworks here. Like, you know, two, do we need three? I think some of you called it in the WhatsApp. Look, one more will just definitely secure us, because it's always a worry, you know. We get Manchester United, if they got one, well then, shit, our backs get to the wall, and all of a sudden they got two, and this game could be a draw. So I was, you know, watching that second half, thinking that the whole time. How about you guys? You were thinking similar, or during that second half, or you thought?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start with a little bit of praise. The players were absolutely fucked, and they just went into a shape that meant they didn't have to do as much running, or most of them didn't have to do too much running. So they went into a shape, a very solid shape. It basically meant Aubameyang and Pepe were really the only people that had to run, and Ozil. Literally, we left it so three players had to cover a lot of ground. I'm not saying that others didn't run, but they weren't required to cover long distances. So you're kind of masking your deficiencies. And it's what I've complained about for a long time when people say our defenders are shit. And it was that, well, we're hanging them out to dry. And yesterday we didn't. We all stuck close to each other. One player couldn't quite make it because they're too tired. There was someone else not too far away to try and cover for them. I agree, though. I think a two-goal lead, I mean, they always say it's the most dangerous lead in the game. If they would have scored, suddenly you become that extra 10% more tired, even though you're fucked anyway. When you've got something to hold on to, you can kind of just gain that extra little bit of energy when you need to. But I think 2-1, especially if it had come sort of early on in the half, would have been a real problem. But I don't think, barring the Rashford one in stoppage time, I don't think they had a chance in the second half. I mean, you could argue the Pereira one where he hit the side netting, but yeah. I wouldn't expect him to score from there. It's one of them, if he scores from there, you go, oh, like, great finish, more than expectation. So I think the shape, pulling a shape and holding a shape worked very well. And we still had some chances on the counter-attack. There was one where Ozil played a ball to Aubameyang with the outside of the foot. Nothing really come of it. There was one Lacazette on the edge of the box, and I think a confident Lacazette puts his foot through it, hits it really hard, and sort of says to De Gea, if you get in the way of it, you're going to save it, but if it's not straight at you, it's going in. But he tried to overplace it and end up going in the upper tier. There's one that Aubameyang played a ball to Nelson, who was in for a tap-in, but Aubameyang overhit it. Right idea, terrible execution. So I think we still did have a couple of chances on the break. But in general, I thought we saw it out pretty well.
I won't go much into detail now because I just had a quick look at our Twitter questions, and a lot of the stuff that I was going to talk about, we'll mention it there. So, you want to do 3-2-1?
Yeah, this is very, very difficult.
It is, isn't it? Well, okay, look, I'll start with me three. I have to go Pepe. Which, like I said, you said it very difficult, but look, he was one of his best games he's played at, you know, in the Arsenal shirt. So he got the goal, he got that assist that I don't think it went down as an assist, did it?
No,
it didn't. No. But look, I just think he was everywhere. The best game he's played for Arsenal, best performance. I hope this is the Pepe that we're going to see moving forward in the future.
Interesting, because he's not going to be in any of mine. He's not going to be in 3-2 or 1. David Luiz, I thought he was unreal. Both defensively, yeah. Leadership, in the air strength, passing out from the back, knowing when to pass it and when to smash it. Thought it was a really complete performance from him. It's funny, I said it to someone at the ground like full time or a couple of minutes ago. And they went sort of, oh, really? I thought he was good, but not like the best player on the pitch. Mm. And then when I got home, I saw that BT Sport, who the game was on, he got the official Premier League man in the match. So this just shows how so many people saw it differently. I saw another journalist, I can't remember who it was, and they tweeted, oh, this is really hard to pick a man and match, but for me, and they named four players, and I don't think Luiz wasn't in it. I don't think Pepe was in it either.
Yeah.
This shows that how difficult this is.
Look, me 2-on-1 is very hard because, look, obviously, Luiz, he gets, for me, he's there. Torreira's there. Granit Xhaka's there. Aubameyang's there as well. So, I'm going to go Granit for the two. And people are going to say, oh, here comes bias. Tez loves Granit, But, look, I just thought he was very, very good. A lot of the stuff that went forward come through him. There was talks of him going in January. I heard you know, you guys talking about it last week, I think, on the podcast. He's coming into this game. He's under pressure. And I thought he held his head, and it was a really, really good performance. A lot of people probably might not see what I think I see, but I don't know whether I'm biased as well. But for me, I'll give him my two.
Again, I thought he was excellent, but he's not in any of my 3, 2, or 1. No, and I thought he was unreal. It's like I said about Lacazette earlier. It's not a reflection on his performance. It's a reflection on everyone else. For me, Torreira, I thought he covered so much ground, had a great chance in the first half that was for his own making. When I say got forward, I mean, he didn't. I'm not saying he played like a number 10 like he did under Emery, but got forward when it was needed, covered every blade of grass. I mean, I don't even want to know how many tackles he won. I think I read 9 interceptions, only seconded by Ozil. He was just everywhere. And I don't know. I think had he been playing like that every week, which is what we expected of him at some point, he might not get it. But just because it's the first time we've seen this in a while, I'm gonna go with him. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, he's going to get my one. I agree with you with David Luiz as well. But no, Torreira, for all the reasons you said, he was brilliant. And it was, you know, and there's a midfield that I've given my 2-on-1 to that I don't think I have all season. Like, I don't think I've ever gone, Granit and Torreira. Nothing against Guendouzi. I heard you absolutely fucking giving it to him last week. But that, for me, Torreira and Granit, that is the future forward for Arsenal.
Fair enough. My one is Ainsley. I feel like he's been fourth in every game since Arteta's been here. And I'm so torn. I was really torn between him and Xhaka. And the reason I give it to him is before that game, my big worry was Rashford playing on the left, and then Martial sort of, he drifts out to that side as well. They didn't have a sniff between them. And when they're two biggest threats, I just thought, Ainsley's kept them quiet. He's not had any real trouble against two players that I was really worried about. And he played good as well. It's not just he kept them out. He kept the ball really well. He made a couple of mistakes. But, I think Ainsley, just because he stopped completely what I expected.
To give you an idea, and obviously everybody's sitting there scratching their head thinking who their 3-2-1 is, and mine and yours are totally different. But I don't think any of us are wrong. I think before we even started recording, we spoke quickly about it and more briefly about it and said, look, it's going to be so hard with a 3-2-1. So I've got, just trying to think, it must have been Liam, because he usually does these ratings. So he's gone. Socrates is an 8, Granit an 8. So there, you might as well say he's 3-2, and Pepe is 7. Aubameyang is 7. The rest of all, Ozil, 7.5. We haven't spoke about Ozil. I thought he was very, very good yesterday.
I thought he was excellent. It's funny, actually, as I was doing my one, I pulled up who scored, because I hadn't looked at it, and I wondered what they would do. And we know their algorithm's a bit fucked and biased towards certain playing types. Dave gave it to Pepe with 8.8, which I think is one of the highest scores I've ever seen on there.
Yeah, okay.
But I did see stats this morning, and it was 100% pass completion. something like six successful take-ons, lost the ball like once, I think, in the whole 60 minutes he was on. Obviously scored, hit the post. So, you know, obviously with their algorithm, that's why it's so high. What's interesting for me is that they had Ozil 6.7 as the worst player on our team. Oh, no, Kolasinac is the worst. And loaded as 6.5. And a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people include him in their selection, their choices, at least for man of the match. But yeah, they had him at 6.5. Ozil 6.7 as our second worst. And I thought he was excellent. Aubameyang's our third worst at 6.9. Which, again, look, the issue is Aubameyang. He worked his absolute bollocks off. He didn't do huge amounts in terms of, he didn't look like scoring, he didn't get an assist. And that's kind of what he's going to be rated on as an attacker. But it just shows that numbers don't always tell you what happened on the pitch, because we know that who scored is based on numbers of passes completed and attacking threat.
If you had asked me who were our three worst players, that would be even probably harder. I thought Kolasinac did well. What did he, 3-4 crosses down that side? Ozil was. I can't think of a player that didn't put in yesterday. And when I say put in, I mean like they felt. I felt like every player was playing for the shirt yesterday or the badge yesterday. And David Luiz, I know he's not our captain, but bloody hell, like. It's captain's performance what he put in, and look, he probably could have got a point off me, or 2 points, or 3 points, but it was just that tight. It was so tight.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know. I forgot to mention. I've not said this to anyone actually. I don't know if they showed it on TV. In the first half, we won the luck. We had a throw in on the right wing by the corner flag, and I think Kolasinac was down, so Socrates and Luiz have come over to the bench to get a drink. And Kolasinac has got up and Ainsley's taken the throw on. The crowd and the bench, obviously they're not looking, they're drinking. The crowd and the bench have gone fucking wild. Like, get back on the pitch. It's funny, it just made it, as I said, I've given him my free, but saying it was a captain's performance after seeing that, it's just the way it happened was hilarious.
Alright, let's get into some questions, because we do have a few here.
Say quickly, it's amazing that Arsenal fans are praising Ozil, which doesn't always happen. I think he ran the second most distance on the pitch from the stats I've seen. Got the ball back more than any other player. His pass completion was ridiculously high. And then who scored, have him as a 6.7. And this is, I've said this before about Ozil, but about other players. In a few weeks, if he starts playing bad again, because he didn't get a goal or assist, and people will look at these numbers and go, oh yeah, he didn't do anything against Man United, he got a 6.7. Like, do you know what I mean? This is where numbers really piss me off. Because in the grand scheme of things, you're not going to remember 10 recoveries, 12 kilometres ran. That's not going to be remembered. So, or when it's, you know, that Ozil never does it against big teams. And in a couple of years, this could be used. Well, he didn't do anything in that game. And it's like, fuck off, he did.
I'll give you, I wasn't on last week's show, but an example, I'm pretty sure it was against Chelsea. fucking memory's shot. But Granit, I think I blamed him for a goal last week against Chelsea.
Well, against Chelsea, he didn't play.
Nah, it must have been Bournemouth.
Anyway,
but then he got it back, and I thought, shit. I can't even think what game it was now. But he then got the assist for the goal that we got back. It wasn't yesterday, yeah, was it? No, they didn't score. Oh, fuck it, I know. Yeah, that's my memory for you. But, you know, that's what I was getting at was basically Granit, if he is the blame for a goal and then he gets the assist later, he will always go down in that game if we lose as, oh, that fucking goal was his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't try and think what game that was now, anyway.
I mean, it would have been a long, long time ago.
Might have been. Look, I've had a stroke.
No, because before Bournemouth, we drew 0-0 with Everton, and then we lost 3-0 to City. So obviously, it wasn't them. It wasn't any of them.
Anyway, yeah, can't remember. Okay, questions. I've got nothing else on that game, mate.
No.
FPL Canada. Hey.
Do you want me to do them all? You're right.
Oh, you can do them if you want. Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't care, but it's up to you.
No, you don't.
I've got to get them up now.
I'll read the first one because I've got that one loaded and ready. FPL Canada, are teams playing well and have more energy and passion? Arteta's influence should improve us as time goes on. The big question is, how long do we allow the players with contracts running down to stay? Make them make a decision or sell them in January and let the fans know the reason?
For me, you keep what you have in January, try and build up a solid base. I know it leaves players going down to the last year, but you're never going to get proper money for them in January anyway. I mean, I think if you were to sell Aubameyang now or sell him in the summer, you'd get probably very similar money or the same money. And obviously, if everything's going well under Arteta, you've got a chance for these players to actually think, oh, I'm really buying into this and want to stay and sign in a new contract. As well, it's about togetherness. You don't want... Arteta's clearly worked hard with these players and drilled them in. He's got... Again, I'm using Aubameyang as example because I think he's the one everyone's thinking of. He's got him running down the touchline, getting back. He's making tackles at left back. He's then getting forward. He's scoring goals. He's making chances. He's got him buying into it. And you don't want to get rid of him. And you can bring it... Even if you bring in someone as good, there's not to say that they're going to do that same work or have that same belief in what we're doing. So for me, I think you keep... everyone you can keep, and obviously try and keep this project being built. And it's easier to replace someone in the summer as well.
Yeah, January for me is one of them windows where you just you grab a player. Like Chambers is injured, so I'd imagine we're looking at a centre back, and I know we're probably looking at a centre back well before Chambers was injured. But we've got a young bloke coming in next season, so you know how much were we looking at a centre back? But now Chambers is out. I'd imagine that they might be looking at a centre-back or you might see a Mafropanus, so I don't know.
No, I think for me that they were looking at a centre-back if one was available sort of thing, and I think that Chambers injury's probably made it we have to get a centre-back rather than before. I think they would have done it if it was possible, but they wouldn't have sort of tried super hard for it. Mm. And I think now it would be the case of it's like an essential almost. Should I go on to the next question?
Yeah. Does Mustafi go for you in January?
Probably not, just because we're that light on numbers. Even if we bring someone in, it's still, you see that as replacing Chambers. So it still leaves us short. And look, people don't like Mustafi. I'm not his biggest fan, and he made a mistake last week and blah, blah, blah. For me, he's still better than Mavropanos. I don't see Mavropanos having any future at the club. I can't see him going. And again, there's no value in him. He's not playing enough to have teams interested in him. So he'd almost be giving him away. I wouldn't be broken hearted if he went. I just can't really see it happening.
Yeah.
And again, you'd have to sign two because of who you're losing. As I said, you've lost Chambers for the season.
Mm.
And then if you let Mustafi go, then you now have to get two.
Two. All right.
Next question is from Schwinn. That name sounds familiar. AFC Schwinn.
I've no idea that bloke is.
First time listener, I think. He says, what is a Lacazette?
Go on, you answer that.
You know, I said this to him the other day, and it's so bad. I saw someone after what game was it? I think it was a Bournemouth game where he missed quite a few chances. They called him Lizazette, obviously the singer Lizzo. And I was cracking up, and I typed it in the WhatsApp group. Like I said, I've just seen someone call him Lizzoette, and I literally can't stop laughing. And now, I swear, I don't even know how, because it's only the first letter the same. But every time I go to type Lacazette, my phone automatically comes up with Lizzoette, which is not ideal, but still makes me laugh every time. As I said earlier, he's a striker that, when playing well, holds the ball up very well and works hard for the team. When he's not playing well, but doesn't score goals. When he's not playing well, he's a striker that doesn't score goals, his touch is iffy, and probably isn't fit enough to work as hard for the team as you'd like when there's no goals and hold-up play coming. And I think that's what it is.
His biggest weakness for me... obviously, there's another question I've just seen coming up on, like I said, about goals. But his biggest weakness is his fitness. Like, and I know he ran his butt off yesterday, and you know, like, he had to come off. He was fucking knackered. But
I think Torreira went to come off just before, and they just like gave him a loop fade and went fuck off. Get back on.
You're back on, buddy. But look, he must be down in fitness a little bit, or he's just always had that fitness problem, I think, because we spoke about it in his first season, and you know, and then he had that little break, winter break or something they call it over in France, do they, or something. So he come over, you know, when he was over here, you know, he was a bit, he had that little break as well, and just, for me, it's always been fitness with him. Like, he just, you look at Aubameyang and there's a massive difference, but he's, I don't know, he's a big man, like I said, or what?
He's got a huge ass.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, it's got to be heavy, isn't it? Must weigh a bit. I agree with you. I don't think he is. I think sometimes what he doesn't have in fitness, he makes up for in effort. But sometimes just have it putting in enough effort isn't enough. But I agree with you. I don't think... I wouldn't say he's not fit enough. I would prefer him to be fitter.
I reckon Arteta will get that out of him, though, because Arteta... Look, it seems like Arteta's going to be like playing a Pep-style football, which is fast.
Well, yeah, I mean, what is that to say? I don't think many of them are fit enough at the moment, but as you said, Lacazette's been like that his whole career. A lot of them are just like that, seemingly, at the moment.
At the moment, yeah. You wonder what Emery fucking actually did, don't you?
Honestly, I was actually coming out the ground yesterday, or driving home, and part of my thinking was that Emery should refund me for every game I went to, because he's robbing us.
Yeah.
Like, not just me, obviously. Like, you see him play like that after a couple of weeks, no more than sort of 8 training sessions, and you think, what were you doing?
What was going on? Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. I'd be wanting a refund as well, mate. You see the little thing that I think it was Emery come out and said it, or somebody mentioned that Torreira was the one who didn't say goodbye to him. Oh, fucking...
Yeah, I mentioned it on the pod last week because I'd just seen the quote. But then Liam watched a full interview, which I couldn't be bothered to do because I don't like Emery. And Liam said that in the full interview, he went on to say Torreira was busy but did send him a text or some shit. But obviously, yeah, the headline was that, that Torreira was the only player that didn't go and say bye or whatever.
Fucking hell. Right, I continue on.
That's what I was doing there. MAA Gunner, a better game by Lacazette, but his finishing is still poor. Do we drop him if possible, or do we persist with him starting until he gets a goal to boost his confidence?
I think you've got to continue starting him. Look, we just beat Manchester United 2-0. He started the game slowly. I was very critical of him at the start, that first 10 minutes, but mate, he worked his ass off, his big, fat, lazy ass. But I just... And you see, I see what's happening, because I was critical of him dropping back so deep. But then this morning before I did this show, I thought, I'm just going to have another look at this a bit slower. And you can actually see what's happening is Aubameyang's coming across from the left into the striker's role, and Lacazette's dropping back to link up with Ozil. So obviously that's what I'm...
down the left.
Yeah, so obviously that is what Arteta is... That's what Arteta wants from him, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean for me, I think one of the things is that people that don't want Lacazette in the team will say, play Martinelli on the left and Aubameyang through the middle. I think one of the things that does Lacazette a favour is Aubameyang is doing ridiculously well on the left, and he's still scoring his goals and still getting his chances. So it kind of... You're not going to bring Martinelli in through the middle. So it kind of lends itself to Lacazette playing. I mean, part of the question was that you just wait till he gets a goal for his confidence. As I said, for me, he's finishing... He's never scored enough goals. He is clearly lacking confidence at the moment, but that's not the only reason he's not scoring. He's never been... Well, not since he's been at us, has he been someone that's going to score you a truckload of goals. Firmino nearly scored.
I wonder, Tony, is what I was just saying with, obviously, you know, Aubameyang going in the middle, Lacazette dropping back, Klasinac coming up on the left. Is he that main striker? Like,
that's what I'm saying. I think the issue is you can't do that with Martinelli. So then it leaves Lacazette as the option and the only option. I think if you bring Martinelli in, you have to slightly change how you play. it wouldn't be too different, but would Martinelli do the defensive work that Aubameyang is? As I was saying, Aubameyang playing as good as he is has, in a way, kept Lacazette in the team, even though you'd argue that the position Aubameyang wants is Lacazette's.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a strange one. But the more interesting question, I don't know if you've got one, is does he start against Leeds? Because that, I think, I'm not sure what we're going to do. If we're going to make a few changes, or if we're going to keep players out, sort of run them into fitness. And that, I think we'll see a lot from that.
It'll be interesting to see what Arteta does in these other competitions, because does he play a second string team? How important now is the Premier? I looked at that ladder.
Pep's always played his strongest team in every game, pretty much, or a very strong team in every game.
Yeah, but he's got the players to do it.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. His squad is big enough to be able to do that. Ours isn't, but is Arteta going to go in that ruthless mode where we win every game and we don't give a fuck? And he seems like, just what he's said so far and how he performed so far, he does seem like that kind of guy.
Yeah, look, and I wouldn't mind that. I don't care if he goes into every game with our strongest lineup, and, you know, if we lose it. Because this, you know, we watched Emery type of flip-flop around. Emery was fucking, that's why he's sacked. So if Arteta's got to do what he's got to do to show those players his plans and tactics for the future moving forward, I'm happy with that. I'm okay. And we've said it here before, when Pep took over City, like, he just kept drumming into that one, this is how I want you to play this, and if you can't do it, I'll just get the players that can do it.
Yeah.
You're up.
Next question.
What do you got?
MAA Gunner again. When we won big games under Emery, it was always either Torreira, Ramsey, Aubameyang or Laka being our best players. Now nearly the entire lineup is a shout for a man of the match. Is there any position that you think we can improve based on the last three games?
I still think defence has got to be the number one issue. You know, we had one good game, but surely lacrosse, fuck me, there have been three seasons with this defence. They're woeful.
We can improve on many positions, but I've been saying it ever since I've been on this podcast that a good system will make the defence better. And look, it's only been three games, so you can't say everything's changed, but we have been better. We've had a better system and we've looked more assured. Chelsea, okay, we lost, but they didn't have many chances. Bournemouth had two chances inside the first half hour and then didn't have anything else. And obviously this was Arteta's first game. And then United didn't really have a chance yesterday. Said maybe the Rashford one at the end, you could say, is a proper chance. So, yes, we can improve. And as I said, I think we can improve in most positions. But I think a system is going to help. So it makes it less essential.
Look, I agree with what you're saying there. However, I think you may have left out the fact that Manchester United are very, very poor. Not taking anything away from Arsenal, but they were... If I was a Manchester United fan, I would be on this show now being pissed off with the way they played. Because that was... I just think they're insane.
They beat City 2 weeks ago.
Hey?
They beat City away 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Beat Chelsea twice this season, beat Tottenham this season. They're above us in the league. Look, they were poor on the day, but I think you kind of have to give us some credit. But you have to give... You always say whenever a team's poor, you have to give the other team credit.
Mm. Yeah, I just think they were very poor yesterday. That's all.
They were. I can't argue, but the pace and whatnot that we started the game with, we targeted Luke Shaw and Pepe beat him every time.
Yep.
And then when we got tired, we just sat very deep, very compact, and didn't allow Rashford and Martial space in behind or little pockets to find. And yeah, they struggled and looked poor, but I think it's a bit unfair to say they're a really poor team when you look at the teams they've been losing to are your shit teams. They've gone, as I said, they've gone to the Etihad and won. They drew with Liverpool. They beat Tottenham already this season. They beat Chelsea twice this season. Like they can clearly play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. They can clearly play, and they have beat them top teams. And I just going on yesterday, I just thought they were very poor. And I would be.
Yeah, as I said, for me, that's down to us. I think what did help. Well, I think what did help is Arteta was at City when they lost, so he knows. Look, they seem. Everyone always says his thing is data and looking at like match videos and whatnot. I mean, I know we said that under Emery and it didn't really look true, but I think this in a way kind of shows that Arteta does believe in that. They've lost to him a couple of weeks ago. He was in the front row. He knows exactly what happened, and this week he's corrected that against exactly the same team. It's not like they've had loads of injuries in that time. I think the United 11 may have even been the same 11. I'm not 100% on that, but it would have been very close to it.
Yeah, it probably would be close, yeah.
And to be fair, I was driving home and I was listening to TalkSport and a few Man United fans called up and they said if it was Emery or Freddie, they think they would have won, but Arteta basically had their number. They said, yeah, we were shit, like we were terrible, but Arteta basically tactically won the game. And as I said, how much were they just shit or how much did we make them shit is always a debate. I mean, there's no answer.
Yeah.
None of us have a crystal ball, but you're just never going to know.
No.
MAA Gunner, are you guys worried about Leeds? There'll be massive rotation, and we might see another Nottingham Forest game.
They're up top in the league, aren't they?
Yeah, they might actually be top. It's their first or second.
Yeah. I remember seeing a couple of weeks ago up top. Am I worried? Look, I don't know, because what are we going for here? Like, are we worried if we go out in that comp, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to. For me, our goal is top four now. I just need, look, it's close on the ladder. I think we've got to go for that top four. So these other competitions, look, am I going to be happy if we win an FA Cup? Of course I'm going to be happy if we win an FA Cup. But at the moment, I'd much prefer a top four. So I'm not going to be overly worried if we go out.
I think he'll try and win it. Liverpool 2-0, Mane. I think Arteta will try and win the game. I think we'll go reasonably strong, not 100%. We're also forgetting, we don't know how much change that they're going to make, because they're at the top. They know they're not going to win the competition. And is it worth running players into the ground to have a decent cup run and risk promotion? So I think it's hard to predict either way.
That's true too. Because, yeah, exactly. Well,
it's the same with Forest. Like you mentioned the Forest game, and I think we end up winning that 5-0, but they heavily rotated because they were doing quite well in the league at the time.
Yeah.
Weren't going to win the Carabao Cup. I mean, I think he's referring to Forest in the cup a few years ago when we lost, but we made loads of changes. We was away and we was just terrible.
Mm.
We had just a really bad performance. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a load of changes, and it would be interesting. I think it's one them. I'm not saying it's hard to call. It's hard to call how each team's going to line up,
Where does your head sit when it comes to these competitions, though? Because let's not forget, we're still in Europa League.
We should have a big enough squad to be competing in these competitions. The joy of the FA Cup is that it's weekends and it replaces, like, it's in the calendar that's where it is. It's not like the other cup where it's in midweek and, do you know what I mean, you have to play every 3 days. It's in the calendar there, and if you go out, you just sit out that week, or you end up moving a league game to that week.
Mm.
So for me, I don't see it as too much of a distraction. Our squad, look, we added to our squad in the summer, and we got to the Europa League final, and I think we went out in the fourth round of the FA Cup. For me, we should have a big enough squad, especially when you get the early rounds, when you get your likes of Leeds, who, no disrespect to, they're a league below us. Like, you should be beating them.
Yeah, that's right.
So for me, as I said, like, look, of course, if you gave me one choice out of all of them, I'd prefer to finish top four. But that doesn't mean I don't think we will. And that doesn't mean you have to fuck off every other competition. A club the size of Arsenal has a big enough squad to have more than one aim.
Hmm.
Hakon Larsson, best match this season by far. Great to see players buying into the manager's thoughts and way of play. We have a long way to go still, but the signs are very positive and it's great to see results on the pitch. Can you guys see us using Ceballos regularly when he's back?
I was going to ask you what has happened to Ceballos, because I don't think I've seen him since I came out of hospital.
He got injured in sometime in November. He pulled his hamstring and then carried on playing for another 10 minutes because Emery is clearly a spastic. And then he hasn't been seen since. He's back training. He was on the bench yesterday, I think. It's a weird one because at Bournemouth, I turned and said to my mate and said, he is such an Arteta type of player for me, in my opinion. Again, anyone's free to argue. But I don't know. I looked at the team and thought, where's he getting? And it's a weird one because, do you know what I mean? You look at him and think, he is the exact type of player I think Arteta would want. But I don't know. Then you ask me who he replaces, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know.
Well, he replaces Ozil. Let's face it. He replaces Ozil. That's why he's on the bench.
I don't think he does. I don't think he plays high enough up. As in, do you know what I mean? He doesn't. He's not going to. I know Ozil hasn't got any goals or assists since Emery's been there, but he's been creating chances for fun. Yeah. And Ceballos does do that. Yeah. I think the issue with Ceballos, he's very neat. He very rarely loses the ball. He's very press resistant because he turns so well, often backwards and annoyingly, but he doesn't get caught too much on the ball. And you think Arteta's going to love that. But then I said that the only one, and I wouldn't do this, the only position I can even slightly see him playing in is where Granit's playing. But then I don't think he's defensive enough. And as I said ages ago, I think that Granit's in the exact type of player Arteta wants as well. Mm. So it makes it really difficult.
It does. I don't know what the exact deal was here. It was a loan deal with an option to buy is what the rumour was going around. Do you
think that we... No option.
Okay. Okay. So he goes.
I mean, you've got the option in that everyone's got. You can make a bid for him, but it's not. There's no option, though. Usually an option to buy is like you will buy him for 40 million at the end of this loan deal if you choose to.
Yep.
We don't have that. So there's no price. There's no.
Okay.
We'd have to negotiate with Real Madrid.
So whereas an option, he goes back at the end of the season.
If you offer that much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, saying that Yuri Tielemans went to Leicester and they didn't have an option. So I'm not saying it's completely impossible.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not an option. It's just a straight loan.
Yep, okay.
The Hakon Larsson, fuck United. Yeah, agree. PM, why was Reece Nelson wearing slippers instead of football boots?
He was, wasn't he?
He was mad. I actually don't know, he just kept falling over.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah. No, what boot? I don't even know what boots he had on.
I think the only thing I can think of, and this may be talking absolute shit, I don't think it was raining, but do you know when it's cold, grass gets wet even though it's not raining?
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's worn like dry boots, like soft, firm ground boots, and then it was actually soft because the grass was wet.
Mm.
But I mean, I'm making excuses for nothing here. I don't know.
No, that's all right.
Halls of Marble. Louise and Xhaka have improved a lot. Is it really Arteta working magic here?
I think the pressure's off him, though. People will go, oh, it's Arteta because they see a bit of a change. But I think it's more of a fact that, hey, Emery just had... I just think the squad was so poor under Emery that, you know, morals were down, confidence was down, everything was down. And when a player's down, they're down. Arteta's come in. Look, he's worked his magic by saying, hey, you're in my starting lineup. Put your head up, guy. Chin up. What, you know what I mean? Pat on the back. And it's just... He just probably knows how to manage him, man-manage him more, like a father figure. That's maybe why. And I know Louise is a bit older, but is a bit of age, but it's still the confidence boost. And you need that under a manager.
Yeah, for me, it's a few things. And one of them, as you just said, he's put trust in them, which helps. Whereas I don't think any of the managers really felt like Emery had trust in them. I think they all felt like they were 45 minutes away from being dropped. Whereas it seems like Arteta has said to them that you're my guy and it's yours to lose sort of thing. Again, I bang on about systems all the time, but I'm going to go with system. They've never got anyone like they've always got someone 5 yards away from them. So if you make a mistake before it was... There was no one within 20 yards, so they couldn't recover in time. You end up conceding or making a major chance. Now you make a mistake and there's someone a couple of yards away. Like the amount of times yesterday where, like I say, Rashford cut in and Socrates, Louise and Maitland-Niles were all sliding in to try and get the block or whatever. And it's like they've just always got that cover, which helps. I think it's a mixture of a few things, and they're all buying into him. Whatever he's said, whatever he's told them the plans are, is something that they all obviously enjoy, and they clearly didn't enjoy playing under Emery. So I think it's a mixture of three things, but I think Arteta has to take credit for all three of them, really. As I said, enjoyment, management and system weren't there before. So he hasn't made them better players. We all knew Xhaka could do this. We all knew Luis could do this. But just he's given them the platform to succeed. I mean, the example I always use is John Terry. Chelsea knew he couldn't run, so they defended on the edge of the area. They got fullbacks close to him, so no one could make that run between fullback and centre back, and he wouldn't end up chasing someone he couldn't catch. And now he's widely regarded as, if not the best defender in the Premier League era, top five. Mm. And that's all because they managed the system properly. And look, I'm not saying any of these are going to go on to be as good as John Terry, but managing the system properly can make a bang average player look very good. I'm not saying John Terry is bang average. He was very good.
Well, Arteta, for me as well, like, and he's gone back to basics these last couple of games. There hasn't been much of a, well, from what I can tell, tactically, it's pretty basic football. Which is good, because I think we needed that, and the players needed that. Under Emery, he was too much like a tinkerman, you know, he changed things so much. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't want Allegri, because he's very similar to an Emery type of tinkerman. Like, he'll change things up, he'll confuse the hell out of everybody, and you know, a couple of losses and nobody seems to know what the hell he's doing. So I like that Arteta's gone back to basics.
Yeah. Next question is Halls of Marble again. If Arteta wins a trophy this season, FA Cup or Europa League, this has to be amongst the greatest achievement in our history. Wenger, Graham, Neil and me all had experience of some form before their first trophies, either here or elsewhere.
Can't argue with it, can you?
I can. I think it's absolute nonsense. It's
a great achievement. I don't know about the history.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can't look. For me, I don't care how experienced they was before. The Invincibles has, hopefully Liverpool don't do it this year. And before that wasn't done since some stupid year where it barely even counts because the rules were completely different.
Yeah, you can't.
An FA, it'll be a great win. It'll be a great win in the circumstances if he wins a trophy. But you won't, in 100 years, people will still look back at the Invincibles. They won't go,
oh yeah,
what about the Cup Arteta one when he only came in December and the squad wasn't very good and he'd never managed before. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, whereas, no, it doesn't.
You know, we went unbeaten for a whole season. Like, that'll be remembered forever. I mean, look, they give you a gold trophy for it because it's so rare.
Mm.
Whereas they're not going to give us a golden FA Cup because Arteta had no experience.
It'll look good on his resume. Arteta's resume. It won't look good on Arsenal's history, though.
Like, no, not in history. As I said, we can sit here now and say he's done amazingly well if he wins that and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think you, as you said, in the history of Arsenal, it probably isn't even a page in the book.
No.
It would be another FA Cup win.
Yeah.
Or another Europa, or a Europa League win, sorry.
Yeah, a Europa League win.
Clay has done emojis of a crystal ball and then said, did you see this result in your crystal ball? No. So, but as everyone knows, and we've kind of abandoned them, I don't do predictions. So it's a good job I don't, because I would have had us losing 2 or 3 nil, to be honest.
Well, I'm in a tipping comp, and I tipped against us. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know many people. It was weird, like, because I went to my brother's house after the Chelsea game, and I said what I said. Like, I thought we would lose against United because of energy levels and whatnot. And he agreed, and then I got him a ticket for yesterday for Christmas, and I met him at the game before, and about 10 minutes before kickoff, he was like, oh, I fancy a win today. And it's funny what sort of atmosphere and being there can do to you. But I don't think anyone really was before the game going, oh, I think we'll win, it'll be a horrendous result if we lose and whatnot.
I just picturing your mate sitting there, oh, I fancy a win. Sucking on his beer.
As I said, it's the optimism you get when you're there. You know what I mean? Everyone's around you and cheering.
Yeah.
So, like, have you ever been into a pub where there's a game on you don't really give a shit about, but everyone, like, say you're watching Man United against someone in Europe, you don't care, but everyone in the pub's a Man United fan, and they're all cheering everything, and you start to become like, not you want them to win, but do you know what I mean? You start like thinking, oh, I think they're going to do this.
Yeah.
Even you can walk in, I'm thinking that they're going to get fucking battered today. And then everyone's cheering and you're around them. You think, oh, actually, they've got a chance here.
Got a chance, yeah. I love the underdog, you know, when, you know, if you're coming up against somebody, an underdog's always good.
I say this guy, I assume I say this guy's name wrong every week, so I'm just, he's not told me I haven't, so I'm just going to carry on saying it. Annie Rudder, fair play to Tony, cheers mate. He had predicted Xhaka would be central to Arteta's system, and yes he is, great analysis.
Well, I'm just going to,
I mean, it's not a question, but of course I'm going to read it out.
Yeah, I know you're going to read it because you love giving yourself a pat on the back. I did a podcast, must have been a few weeks ago, and apparently I called him an arsehole. I do apologize, and he messaged me and said, you called me an arsehole. I'm like, oh shit, sorry mate, I didn't mean to call you an arsehole as you, it was probably your name, I probably said a kind of a name or something like that. So yeah, so I just want to clear that up with him. I did say that I'd give him a nickname as well, because I said, just to make it easier, because I still don't know how to pronounce his name, so I'll have to come back on that one though. I didn't mean an asshole like you, because I don't even know you, so I wouldn't call you an asshole, mate.
Now he's our best listener and most valued listener, because he realised that my analysis is great, as he called it.
Top
draw, 10 out of 10. Should get a job at Sky Sports.
When did you bang on about that?
But I think before Arteta came, I just saw that. I just thought he's the type of player, bit solid, keeps the ball and can play long if needed. Whereas someone even like Torreira can win the ball, but he can't escape the trap and play long balls.
Sorry, I was listening to you, because I was going to add, you probably read that from my WhatsApp group, but
my WhatsApp group with him, fuck Xhaka, get rid of him, sell him to anywhere.
It would have been. I'm just looking at him, he's at his common name. I think he's taking a piss anyway. Sam at common name.
You're already upset him, don't start. He's probably taking the piss out of us.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, or mate.
Next question is Liam, who was obviously on the show the other day having a coughing fit and done our rating.
Hey, good on you, Liam.
He was so awkward. I asked him his own questions, and he took fucking ages to answer because he was coughing. So that was weird.
He had one job, to break up any fights between you and Darren.
He had a front row seat, got the popcorn out.
He went pissing himself laughing.
So his question is another serious injury to a key defender. In case anyone doesn't know, he's talking about Chambers, who they had an operation today, and it's been reported 6 to 9 months, which it was an ACL injury. And Liam said, further ACL injury in just over 12 months. No other team has this many serious injuries. Can it really just be bad luck, or should we be looking at our medical team and asking questions?
Has to be bad luck for me. Is this, just thinking though, Chambers, is this the first major injury? I think he's done something else before, didn't he?
I don't think so.
No?
Not off the top of my head. He's been injured before, but I don't think he's had a serious one.
Okay. I just think it has to be bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, ACL is, there's nothing you can do about it. It is just complete bad luck. Whereas, we had a lot of soft tissue injuries before, hamstrings and whatnot, and we did change our medical staff, and we've had very, very few since. Now I've said that someone will pull their hamstring on Monday. It's just the way things work, that when you say something, the world likes to prove you wrong. But in general, since we've changed that, we've had very, very few soft tissue injuries. I know we've got Martinelli has one at the moment, but obviously he's just completely not used to English football and the intensity. And as soon as he started 3 games in a row, and his hamstring goes. And it, to be fair, it didn't go bad. He still finished a game and whatnot against Everton, and he just hasn't played since. Hector's got one, but again, it's because he was out for so long that when you come back, your muscles aren't used to the workload. So we've done really well in managing soft tissue injuries, which we had an issue with before. I think something like an ACL, you can't make your ACL stronger. Like, it is just one of them things.
I've done mine, and it just happens.
I did when I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just nothing you can do. I've seen some people maybe blame the pitch because if they're like your studs can get stuck in them and twist your knee, but Callum's and Hector were both at home, but sort of both in very different circumstances, and Holdings was away at United. So I just think it is complete bad luck.
Mm. No, it is. I think I've done two, actually. I've done the left one when about 3 years ago. I heard a pop on the right one, but I just ignored it. Just kept going. No. Anyway.
it's horrible, fucking thing.
Oh, fucking dirt bikes, mate. Stay off them.
Red Custodian. How on earth are you going to decide your 3-2-1? As you heard, with great fucking difficulty. Romy. Seems Xhaka is staying. Are you happy? Would have been difficult to replace in January.
Oh, yeah. So you can't replace a Granit in January. And look, if Arteta's going to get the best out of him, that people say we haven't seen the best out of him, and I still think there is a hell of a lot of improvement, even though I like Granit, but... Do I want him to go in January? No. Do I want him to go at all? No. I think we can build a team around him, Ozil, Aubameyang, and, I like Guendouzi, but I don't... And I do see Guendouzi in the future, but I think Guendouzi needs to go off, learn a little bit more, and then come back. So, if anything, I'd like to see Guendouzi go out on loan, but at the moment our squad's way too short.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want Xhaka to go in January anyway, before he started playing under Arteta. Obviously, played well, so I even more don't want him to go, and I don't want him to go in the summer. I think a lot of the hate people have for him has made people not realise that he's one of our better midfielders. And for me, if he's fit, he starts. And, OK, you can argue I'm an idiot, but if he's been fit under Arteta, he's started. If he was fit under Emery, he started. If he was fit with Freddie, he started. If he was fit with Wenger, he started.
Mm.
Maybe you think we're all idiots, but for me, it's like that many people, and okay, my opinion is an unqualified one, but you've got four managers, some you can argue are shit, some unexperienced, but they've all come to the same decision. They haven't just thought, oh, this is banter. Like, there's a reason for it.
No, that's right. Okay, well, when Elneny was there, who started?
Xhaka. He started with everyone.
Yeah.
That's what...
Yeah, anyway. I'm not going to get on the Granit shit for it, but Jesus. So, I don't know. I know I don't want to criticise anyone here, but just have a little look at what he actually does when he's on the pitch. Like, okay, I know this can be improvement. He's a bit slow on the turn. He's a bit slow in other areas, but... The balls that he creates and the workload that he does do is... I don't know how you replace that. I really don't.
And it's hard to say this after he missed a game through illness the other day. He's never fucking injured. And there's a lot to be said about having a player that you can rely on all the time.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, jumping when you know it's going to be solid, this and how to play with him, because you played with him for the every other 37 weeks of the season. It does make things a lot easier. I know you say they train together all the time, but... A match and training is completely different, and you know what they can do, what their limits are. You know, with Xhaka, if he gets anyone anywhere near him, he's going to go down, and he's probably going to win the free kick because he always fucking does. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's just that familiarity, it helps.
Yeah, exactly.
Next question is from Romy again. Why do you think our players' fitness is so bad? Did the players mail it in with Emery and therefore lost fitness? Do you wish we pulled the trigger during the international break?
They're definitely unfit. Now, Arteta's come out and said that this squad is lacking major
fitness. The players have come out and said that, which is more worrying.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what went on with Emery. It's hard to sit here and say what Emery did, but when you hear people come and say, look, we are underfit and whatnot, I don't even know how you get that back, because it's not like Arteta's got an off-season with him where he can get him fit. So I think we're going to be stuck with what we are stuck with for the rest of the season. Should we pull the trigger during the internet? Yeah, absolutely. Should have. Absolutely. It should have gone a long time ago, and I think a lot of us were saying that.
Yeah, I mean, not to spank my own backside, but I was asking for him to be sacked in the international break about 4 weeks before the international break. In terms of, look, they can get their fitness back and they can get it back during the games by running more, by training more. I mean, there's no secret he had them training the day of a game. I don't think we've ever done that, or not regularly. He keeps having us training at the pitch, which he's never really done before. He's obviously got a reason for it, and not criticising him, but again, different methods will make you fitter. I don't think you need a whole pre-season. Under the Emery thing, I think it's a combination of two things. Yeah, look, the players did down tools a little bit, which was obvious. Everyone sort of said that at the time. And then secondly, there was an article, and I mentioned it the other day in November, saying Arsenal are going to struggle with their fitness because Emery's basically got them playing basketball. They're running up and down the pitch the whole time. They've got to cover other players because, as I said earlier, the gaps between them was sort of 10 to 15 yards for each player. So they had to run so much. I don't know if it's I think part of it is they've done so much work already that when you get this fixture congestion, they're going into games sort of half fucked before the game's even started. So then they do anywhere near their normal distance and it's like they're finished. And again, I think that's going to be a bit harder to recover from than it is that they're just a bit unfit. Next question. Should Bellerin be worried about his spot?
Yeah, I think he should be. Michael Knowles is doing a good job there, and look, which is good though, which you've got now two players competing for that position, so they're fighting for it, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, I said after 20 minutes of the Bournemouth game being there, and obviously I said it on the podcast after, I can't really see how Hector gets back in the team unless we change the way we're playing. We had a discussion about this in the WhatsApp group earlier, and quite a few people were coming up with ways, and they do think Hector gets back in the team, but unless again, we have some injuries or that he just wants to rotate, I can't see how Hector gets in playing this current style. How would you set up for the Leeds game? I'd rest Aubameyang but start Laka if he can play.
Yeah, I'd start Laka. I'd rest Aubameyang. What do you do in the back? I don't know.
I think Holding probably comes in.
Holding. I forgot. I keep thinking he's injured. Holding. Is Bellerin back? Is he still injured?
I don't know. They're saying so he's out of a hamstring injury, in contention, like chance of playing against Leeds.
I'd nearly start Socrates and Luiz because you know they say there's fitness. So do you play them for fitness?
Or on the other hand, just to sort of be on the other side of it, do they go? You've now got a week and a half off if you don't play against Leeds and get the fitness on the. Do you know what I mean? Get the extra running in that you can't do if they've got to play in a couple of days.
Yeah, he could do that. Yeah. Smith Rowe, does he get a start?
Well, for me, I imagine, I don't think Ozil plays. I think Ceballos starts. For me, he goes, I don't want to call it a second string because there's a lot of good players, but I think he probably goes Holding Mustafi. Fullbacks will be interesting because it's Ainsley basically has to play unless Bellerin's back fit.
Yep.
Left back, Saka probably plays there. I mean, I don't know if you've heard after the game yesterday, Arteta basically said Kolasinac weren't fit, but he said, boss, if you need me to do a job, I'll do it. Like, I'm not ready, but...
Yeah,
because I think Saka was moaning that he was injured, not injured, but he wasn't feeling great.
And so Kolasinac injured, is he?
Yeah, Tierney's out till March.
Fucking hell. I've missed
that. Yeah, shoulder injury against West Ham. I think Guendouzi probably gets a game. I'd imagine with one of Torreira or Xhaka.
Guendouzi doesn't make the sort.
I imagine Guendouzi plays with one of Torreira or Xhaka. I'd imagine Laka, Martinelli if fit, and probably Nelson. I don't know. He said after the game that Pepe wasn't really ready to play. Which is why he hasn't been starting him. And then he said we felt like he'd be okay at home because he gets more protection from refs. So whether he's just feeling the effects of getting fouled every time anyone gets near him, which has pretty much happened in the last month. I don't know if it's that. And if that is the case, they might give him the game against Leeds to sort of go and have a bit more run out in a game that should be a bit less tempo.
Mm-hmm. Leno start?
No.
Martinez. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, what else we got there? Oh, Willock.
Yeah, as you said, Willock, Smith Rowe. There's names. See, that's what I mean. I've just named the team that we've both sort of, between us, named the team that we'd call as second string. And there's still some, oh, I'm not saying Willock's a great player, but there's still some decent players that don't even start.
Yeah. Nelson probably comes on if Pepe is a little bit
under. I mean, as I said, one of them starts and the other one sits on the bench. And I think what he will do is, if he does start a team like we've just suggested, he'll have a super strong bench, so the like of a Bamiyang and whatnot. They won't be completely rested. It'll be on the bench, and if we need you, get yourself on the pitch, son.
Yeah.
Next question is from Paul Griffin. Your 3-2-1 is going to be hard. His is Torreira for 3 makes centre back's life easier. Luis for 2 looks a real leader. And Ozil 1 works so hard, but they're interchangeable. And many others deserve acknowledgement. Xhaka, Maitland-Niles, Socrates, Kolasinac especially.
So he's named a different one to what me and you said. Well, you had Luis.
Yeah, I mean, I had Torreira, Luis, and Maitland-Niles, and he's obviously put Maitland-Niles in his other list.
Yeah.
And he's got Ozil, who I had in my other list. Like, it's just...
Well, he didn't have Pepe at all. No.
And as I said, I wouldn't have, to be honest. And it's mad, he got a goal. Do you know why I wouldn't have? Because... he basically played. He was amazing for 45 minutes. If you asked me at half time, it would have been Pepe.
Yeah.
And then he done nothing in the 15 minutes. I think about 15 minutes, I don't know, in the second half. And then obviously he wasn't on the pitch. So that's why I didn't, again, not saying he had a bad performance. And who scored, give him 8.8, which is, as I said, pretty much as high as you're ever going to get on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was more surprised that neither of us mentioned Socrates. Clean sheet, defended well, got a goal.
Yeah.
But none of us even mentioned him.
Didn't mention him, no.
Arsenal Pods and Blogs, who I've now found out is Australian, because he kept bigging up Moy, and I said it last week, and he tweeted us to say he is.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Is it you?
No.
Oh.
Jeez,
you always ask what?
I've got enough bloody things going on.
Arteta and the squad look like they'd won the league after the game, hoping this boosts confidence. Can you see the Arteta tactics yet?
Well, can you see the what? Arteta tactics?
Yeah.
Oh, for me, it's what he's learned at City. I could be wrong, but I just from what I see that he's doing in the last 3 games, we're going to play with, we're going to be playing fast football, moving the ball quick. For me, it's exactly what Pepe has taught him to do. Which is a worry when we come up against City, because then what happens?
I was actually thinking this yesterday. How much are they worried that Arteta's done all their data analysis over the last however long?
Mm.
It goes both ways. Obviously, Pep knows pretty much what Arteta's going to do, but Arteta probably knows City's weaknesses better than Guardiola does, or as well as Guardiola does, because he's the one delivering that data. I mean, if you had to put the game's ages away, and if you had to put money on it now, you'd be stupid not to go for a City win at home. But you look at that, and it can go either way in terms of the tactical battle.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's going to be Look, it's going to be interesting for me what happens in summer with Arteta, and he looks at these players, and you know we're talking about Grenet, Ozil, we're talking about Aubameyang. We wonder whether Lacazette's going to be there, and. You know, you talked about Martinelli. Does he do that job? What I want, you know, what are the players? Pep ran out and he got his players that he wanted to play his brand of football. Does Arteta do the same? Or
The difference is Guardiola had an unlimited budget.
We don't.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I think he can get players that fit the mould somewhat, but he might have to. What the difference is, Guardiola could go and get players that fit his mould straight away, whereas Arteta might have to go and get players that he believes are capable of fitting his mould and can do it a little bit, and he'd have to train and teach. The same way he's had to do with our players already.
Yeah.
That he's got the players, and they're brought into it inside 2 weeks, which looks amazing for the future.
Good. Yeah, absolutely.
Because say, just to pick anyone, just for example, Nathan Redmond, you might look at him and think, he doesn't do what I want a winger to do currently, but I believe that with my coaching, I could get him to do it.
Mm.
And so we'll go out and get him. That's just, I don't know why Nathan Redmond's the first player.
I know, you're saying that. Yep.
I think we'll have to do more of that, whereas Guardiola could go, Kyle Walker fits what I need. He's £60 million. here's £60 million.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can't.
We won't be able to do that. But the other thing is like things in January, is now we need a Chambers replacement or a centre-back replacement, which we probably did before, but I wonder whether he was actually looking at that position more than, you know, like he is obviously now, but yeah, it would have been interesting to see where he wanted to change things up.
Yeah, well, that's why it's interesting because, look, it could be complete bullshit, but just before we started recording, one of the newspapers linked us with Nathan Ake, and I know it was someone City was looking at before. Mm. So it's interesting, is that someone that Arteta was not scout, obviously he's not a scout, but recommended when they was at City and they looked at him and either didn't like him or couldn't afford him or didn't want to spend, whatever reason.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, is that someone he's had in mind since then, or is it complete paper nonsense? Like, we never know.
Yeah, Aaron Moyes and Daniel Azani.
Yeah, Tim Cahill, Mark Viduka, Harry Cole, get them all out. Bosnich. Just to answer the other part of the question, Arteta and the squad looked like they won the league after that game. I was with one of my friends who plays in the Championship before, and we watched a bit of the City documentary. And he said it was amazing that after they have a big cheer in the dressing room after they win. And do you know what I mean? They eat a bit of shit food, might have a drink. And my mate was amazed. He was like, oh, we win a game and we win the game and we get back and we get changed and we go home. He's like, City have created that real atmosphere of a bond. Like, it's a thrill to win and you celebrate every win. And I think Arteta, again, obviously having been in that dressing room, that's one of the things that he's kept up. You notice he's first out, he's congratulating every player, claps the fans for a bit. Usually managers don't do that. So I think they're trying to get that attitude of, oh, it's an achievement to win, so celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. No, well, even at after the game, like, you just see them. I was happy to see them walk around clapping the fans at the end of the game and hugging and whatnot. Who's this bloke? Arsenal Pods. He said, they did look like they'd won the league, because that was what I've been pretty much saying this whole show, is the whole Arsenal moral, you know, everything was so down, and when the pressure's on, you know, you just don't even feel like playing football, and the players just got that relief off, and yeah, happy days. And so I hope that we can, you know, go forward from here.
Arsenal Pods and Blogs again. Lacazette, commentary was saying how well he played. Goals, 0. Assists, 0. Sorry, this does not add up.
You got to look at it a bit more than that, mate. Fucking hell. Look, I was critical the first 10 minutes of him. He got better. He got better and better. He ran his ass off at the end. He was buggered. They pulled him off. In terms of goals and assists, I know he should be there to score your goals and whatnot, but I think he's probably more there for your assists, because he does get back deep, and he's been told to get back deeper, and you see Aubameyang come across. So just when, you know, watch it next game, and you'll see, like, how does a striker score when he's so deep back?
You say that, and again, he did have one very good chance, and he self-made. And he did have the other chance from the edge of the box where I said he put it in the upper tier.
Yep.
But it's not a criticism of his game at all. As I said, I thought he played well. But yeah, you do have to look beyond goals and assists. And that is what I was saying earlier about Ozil. In a couple of weeks, people will look back and go, oh, I didn't do anything against a big team again. But some people have him as their man of the match.
Mm.
So you can't just look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Last question is Pods and Blogs again. You touched it. This must be you. Do you think we should loan Guendouzi in January?
Why am I the Guendouzi hater? No, I don't think we should.
You said earlier, I would loan him in January, but we ain't got the squad. You said it about 10 minutes ago.
Did I really say that?
Yeah.
I've fucking lost the plot. Okay. Now I'm saying no.
No, you said I wouldn't because we don't have the squad.
Yeah. Okay. No. So I wouldn't loan him. I thought you said I would.
You said Guendouzi probably needs a loan, but we can't do it at the moment because we ain't got the players or something.
No, we've already answered that question. Fucking hell. No, that was probably more you, because you were banging on about Guendouzi last week.
What do you mean? You literally said it 10 minutes ago. What do you mean it was probably more me?
Last week you wanted Guendouzi out of the place. You know this is
being recorded, right? Like, people can hear it.
Yeah, I do. Hey, listen. Don't pick on the bloke with a disability.
Oh, I was going to say, this is where you go back and edit it and go, oh, I didn't say that. Look, it's not there.
No, I'm not editing. I'm not editing shit. I'm too lazy these days. Okay, what else we got?
That's all she wrote.
Actually, I got one through that WhatsApp group. Give me a look. I've seen it this morning.
I saw someone put something in there, but I think it's by mistake.
Oh, no, Sam. Babcock. Babcock.
Yeah, he was on here a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Me and you, actually.
Oh, yeah, Sam. Yep, okay. After the game, Papa and Luiz said they are still far off the plan and keeping up for the full 90, but are glad to see improvement. They said they are happy again. Not a question, but love to see this. If we continue to grow and improve, is top four or Europa out of reach? I think we can do it as long as we don't lose key players in transfer or injury.
I don't think we can. It's not completely like ruling out, like 100% it can't happen. I don't think we will get top four. I think 9 points is a lot, and there's also a lot of teams. I think there's like 8 teams between us, so you're relying on a lot of teams to drop points. It's different if you're 9 points behind, but there's only one team ahead of you, and every time they drop points, you're gaining on them. But it could be a case of Chelsea lose, but Tottenham win, and then we win, and we've not gained anything. Or the one week we lose or draw, we drop points. 3 or 4 teams are gaining points on us. So I think, as I said, I don't think it's impossible. I don't think we will do it. He obviously, it wasn't a question, but he said about the Luiz and Socrates interview after the game.
Mm.
I only saw it because someone posted it in the WhatsApp group, obviously, because I was travelling back. Very good interview. I recommend watching it. It's only like 3 minutes. Very honest. Obviously, they are probably the two oldest players on the pitch yesterday on our side. But it's a very mature interview, very, very honest. We're not fit enough, it's not good enough, we had a terrible start. And it was funny, Luiz sort of said, we've had a not good start, and then he was like, no, actually, we've had a terrible start to the season. Like, it's a very good interview, and it kind of shows where they're at, and they seem happy to be playing under Arteta.
Yeah, and our confidence is up. Just touching on that, so Chelsea are 36, we're 27, like Chelsea hold the fourth, and I'm not looking at Manchester United or Tottenham yet, because I think at they're on 30 points. We could possibly catch them. But what I wanted to bring up was, I just had a look at Chelsea's fixtures. So they've got us in January, then they've got Leicester, then they've got Manchester United and Tottenham. Now that there, let's touch wood, that there could bring Chelsea undone.
But what I will say is, everyone has now played one team twice and everyone else once. So everyone's got to play them teams, apart from United.
Right. That's what I said. I hadn't looked at other fixtures, so, yeah.
No, yeah, so there's been, as I said, everyone now, as of yesterday, has played someone twice.
Yep.
And ours was United. So now you're going back around again. Every game now will be a team you've already played. Yeah, so, yeah, Chelsea have got everyone, but we've got everyone except United, and then United have got everyone except us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So, anyway, look, it could be done. Could be. I have to wait a little bit longer, I think.
Oh, as I said, it's possible. I just think it's unlikely. I wouldn't go putting money on it.
No, I wouldn't put money on it. No way. Okay, so that's all the questions, is it?
Yep,
and you can get them at to us. We usually throw it up after the game at @clockin_talk, and thank you for your questions. Sometimes we fuck the names up, but that's just normal. We've got Leeds coming up, FA Cup, and then we've got Crystal Palace. So, Crystal Ball is out, and I will give predictions. Well,
what I just will say is, before, I don't think we leave London this month, because our aways are Chelsea and Palace. There's no Europe. Oh, and obviously, Leeds is at home. We've got Sheffield United at home.
And then Chelsea.
Apart from Chelsea away, that's what I'm saying. Chelsea and Crystal Palace aways. Apart from if we beat Leeds, the FA Cup fourth round is at the end of the month, and obviously we might be home, we might be away, you don't know. But that should help in terms of the fitness thing, because there's no overnight travelling, so you can train a little bit more or a little bit longer. Because you don't have to then finish training to get a coach or a plane up to whatever random country, city, sorry.
Yep.
So that could be a slight benefit.
So January, yeah, it could be a good month for us. Europa League kicks back in Feb, doesn't it?
February.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We won't be back after FA Cup, but more than likely after Crystal Palace.
It depends what happens. It's a long time away, isn't it?
Yeah. That's me. That's you. Schwinn is still looking for him. Yeah.
Will you have ended Darren's suspension by the next pod, or is he still banned?
No, he can probably come back because I'm going on holiday soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've got to have a holiday,
mate. Fucking on holiday.
I'm going to head up the Gold Coast for a look. I'm going to go and watch a Big Bash cricket match. I've never seen that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I thought I'll go up and
have a look. You ain't worked for 3 months. It's a bit of a cheat calling it a holiday, but it's your own.
Been in where?
Huh?
What'd you say? I've been where?
Said you ain't worked for 3 months.
Yeah, I know. I've got a disability now, mate. Gonna get a pension.
The world's smallest violin is playing the world's saddest song just for you.
Hey, don't break me heart, mate. It's been broken a few too many times. Okay, this is the Clock and Talk podcast, and thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. You can get us on any iTunes or good podcast apps, Android. YouTube usually goes up. However, I did have a little break because there was a congestion of games, but that'll be back up and going. And we'll be back. Thank you, Tony.
Cheers.
Goodbye and good night.